Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to see everyone here today. Isn't the Lord good that He's brought us out today that we might worship Him and honor Him?
Yes.
What a joy it is to know the Lord as my Savior.
Amen.
I've known Him for a good number of years, since 1952, and He's been so good to me.
Amen.
Oh, how wonderful His grace is. I thank Pastor Randy Graber and the church for inviting me to come and speak. And it's always a joy to come up here. Look forward to it every year. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to make a trip, but we'll just leave that up to the Lord, I guess. You know, it might be that He would come today and take us all home.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? the last few years, the conferences really been all about the theme of We See Jesus. And certainly that's, as we gathered here today, we want to see Jesus. And we see Jesus certainly in the New Testament, but we also see Him in the Old Testament. And our theme today is we see Jesus in the Old Testament prophecy. And I want us to turn this morning in our Bibles to John chapter 5. And it's a good verse to consider this morning. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures. This is Jesus speaking. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. So the Old Testament Scriptures testify of Jesus. We see Jesus throughout the Bible. This morning we want to speak on the subject of a prophet like unto Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. This is a prophecy. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. On Mount Sinai, when the Lord spake to them, they were terrified. They did not want to hear him any longer. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, that is, like unto Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Oh, what a dangerous a thing it is not to hear God's prophet. get my pages here. My fingers get hard to handle pages sometimes. The Lord will raise up unto thee in the midst of thee. Let's consider the likeness of these two, Moses and Jesus. Both were Jews. Both were Israelites. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife and a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." That was the birth of Moses. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, we read, and before that, previous to that, we read the genealogy from Abraham to Jesus. And verse 16 says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." In other words, he was the anointed one. He was the Messiah.
Amen.
That was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. He was this one, the Messiah. And they were certainly born of faithful Jewish parents. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, we read, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." They would rather obey God than that heathen king. And so they hid Moses 3 months. They were faithful parents. In Matthew chapter 2, in verse 13, we read, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt." Again, we see the faithfulness of their parents. They did what God commanded, what God wanted them to do. Another interesting thing about these two, Moses and Jesus Christ, was both were born under foreign rule. I don't know whether we ever stopped to think about it or not, but they were born under a worldly rule. In Exodus chapter 1, 18, "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto the people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pihon and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in the manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." Oh, how they come under the rough taskmasters of the Egyptians. So they were born under, Moses was born under foreign rule. Let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 about our Savior. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." This is under Roman rule. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that he should be delivered, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So we see certainly that they were born under foreign rule. And even as we look further in the likeness of these two in their birth and where they were born, we notice also that they were threatened by wicked kings. Really, Satan wanted to stamp this out. He didn't want this to go on. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 15, we read, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stocks or on the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." Moses was born under a time when all the boy children were to be killed when they were born. Sounds a lot like today, even before they're born today, isn't it? Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He tried to make sure that this one who was born to be king was put away right from the very start. So we see the likeness of these two individuals. Again, I got my pages. Another interesting thing about these two, both were sent from God.
Amen.
Yes, they were sent from God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the lame angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush." Says an angel of the Lord. I wonder about this angel of the Lord. It was a messenger of the Lord. And the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of the fire out of the midst of the bush. God appeared to him. The Lord appeared unto him. "And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place which thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Moses was to be one who brought them out from slavery in Egypt. He was to be their deliverer and to bring them out of the land into a good land, a land of large and land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians have oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So Moses was sent of God to be their deliverer. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus, in speaking to the Jews, he said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded for and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Jesus was sent into the world, and he was sent into the world to be a deliverer of his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Deuteronomy, another thought I want to bring forth. Both knew God. There's the difference in these two than all the other prophets. This is a marked difference. This is why it was he was to be a prophet like unto Moses. Both knew God face to face. God spoke directly to them. Deuteronomy 34:10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. There was not another man like unto Moses, whom God spoke to face to face. Then John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus knew his Father face to face. Luke chapter 9 and verse 34, and this is a passage that deals with a part of the transfiguration where Moses and Elijah were seen with Jesus. And Luke 9:34, while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and as they feared, as they entered into the cloud, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear Him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. In other words, He's the one. You hear Him. And they kept it closed and told no man in those days and those things. Now all other prophets received their revelation by visions or dreams. But not these two. God spoke to them face to face. In verse 18 of our text, we read, I will put my words in his mouth. John 7:16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. It wasn't a personal thing. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. In John 8:28, then said Jesus unto him, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you may know that I am he, we've read this before, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. In other words, I will put my words in his mouth. John 17:16. In Jesus' high priestly prayer, he exclaims, I have manifested my name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. John 17:8, for I have given them the words which thou gavest me. Notice, I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. They have received them. How important it is to hear this one. We need to receive his word and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Back in our text in verse 18, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. Again, as we look at our Savior, John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever I speak, therefore, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I made known unto you. In our text we see that he was to be a prophet like unto me, that is unto Moses. In what way was Jesus a prophet like unto Moses? Where was the similarity? Well, they were both mediators. They were both mediators. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 5. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For ye were afraid by reason of the fire that went up, not up in, and went not up into the mountain, saying, in other words, they feared the presence of God. They couldn't stand in the presence of God. And Moses was the one that stood between God and them and gave them the word. And we read in already in Deuteronomy 34:10, and there rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Luke 24:19. And he said unto them, what things? And then and they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. John or Titus, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And I would ask us this morning, really now, how is our hearing? How is our hearing today? Are we hearing this one who has spoken to us in these last days? Have we really heard him? Have we really heard his commands? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? He's spoken unto us in these last days, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. Concerning this Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses was faithful in the work that God gave him to do in his house. For this man, that is Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Another likeness. Moses was a mediator of a blood covenant. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus verses 7 and 8. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Moses was the mediator of a blood covenant. But the people broke that covenant. They did not keep that covenant. Jesus also is a mediator of a blood covenant. We read concerning the Lord's Supper, going to Matthew 26. Verse 26. And as they were eating, that is the Passover, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus was the mediator of a blood covenant, a better covenant of that of Moses. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's begin reading with verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves. Certainly that's what Moses brought forth in his covenant. Not of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Oh, Jesus has set us free to serve the living God. Amen. Through his shed blood. Amen. We live under a new covenant. And it's the covenant of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And verse 18 says, unto him shall ye hearken. And, you know, the Lord really laid it upon my heart. Unto him shall you hearken. Do you have ears to hear this morning? Are we hearkening unto him? Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. We've read this before concerning the transfiguration. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. In Luke chapter 10, verse 16, he that heareth you, heareth me. Speaking to his disciples. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you despiseth me. And him that sent me. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. In John chapter 1, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God, or the Son of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. In verse 19 of our text, we read, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Matthew 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's important for us to hear. He that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 3:22. Stephen here speaking to the Sanhedrin. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. How important it is to hear. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall they not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Jesus came speaking from heaven. And how important it is for us to hear him.
Amen.
Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee on every side. And they shall lay thee even unto the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Oh, this is the time of grace. And Jesus has been speaking to us as a people through the gospel. And how important is it for us to hear him? If you will not hear him, you shall be destroyed. Think about the Jewish people. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. They would not hear him. They would not have him to rule over them. And here Jesus wept over Jerusalem because Jerusalem was going to be torn, laid flat. And you know, the Jewish people have suffered for some 2,000 years for their rejection of the one who came unto them. They would not hear him. Oh, but praise God. God is going to cause them to hear in a day in the future. There is a day coming when they will hear him. But they would not hear him the first time he came. But he's coming again.
Amen.
To this earth. And then they're going to hear him. Oh, what a wonderful blessing that will be in the future. But have we heard this prophet that was like unto Moses? Oh, how important it is for us to hear him today. He is with us.
Amen. Let's stand.